worthy, he's great, there's none other like him. Join me in a scriptural affirmation from Job, the 40th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, then Job answered the Lord and said,
behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand on my mouth.
Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me.
Wilt thou also dismount my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?
Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold, everyone that is proud and abase him.
Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place.
Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Dear Father in heaven, we are so grateful. Grateful that we can come together as a group and worship you. Grateful that we can come together and hear from you. Grateful that we can come together in obedience to you. Grateful. And we ask that you would just find pleasure in being here with us. We find joy and peace and life in being here with you. Fill us, lead us, guide us. Make us into the men and women that you would have us to be. Let all that we do be for your glory this day. You are welcome in this place. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. May our worship today truly be all about you. So often, what we call worship is just a way of getting our will. Would you please forgive us? What we call worship is just a way of us making ourselves heard. But today, may our worship be about you, about glorifying your name, about how great you are, about who you are and whose we are. May we today surrender ourselves thoroughly, definitely, completely to you, so that you might be glorified in our midst and around the world. Oh God, I praise you and I thank you. I praise you and I worship you. I praise you and I surrender thoroughly to you. Speak. Your children are listening. Open our ears. Open our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Going through the book of Job has been a humiliating experience. It's, you know, part of it is because it's come in the midst of circumstance of life. Life has been fascinating lately. Just a lot of crazy things are happening all around us. And as you look in the book of Job, you get this feeling. I kind of like to think of myself as a Job-like character. You ever think of yourself as a Job-like character? Everything that happens to you, woe is me. I'm just like Job. You know, Job was a fascinating guy. He was a guy who that God and the devil were having a conversation about. Think about that, you know? Satan walking up to and fro with the angels, and there he's in front of God, and God says, "Have you considered my man Job? Have you thought about him? Have you considered what kind of man he is?" Just almost like he's tempting the devil to mess with him. In fact, he gives him permission to mess with him. He gives him permission to take all of his flocks and his herds and his crops. He gives him permission to mess with his body, but not to kill him. Yet the Bible says Job was a righteous man. And you know, as you go through this book, you discover Job never gets an explanation about what was happening. He never finds out what was going on behind the curtain. He doesn't understand all of this stuff. And sometimes you kind of, you know, you want to feel like, well, if God were truly a kind, loving God, he would tell me what's going on. If God were truly a loving and wonderful God that he is, he'll speak to me and I'll be able to explain to all of you what's going on, because you need help, you know? Then we come to this 40th chapter. Job's been through a lot. He's been through all of this loss of his 10 children. He's been through all of this pain of his aching, deformed body. He's been through ups and downs. He has friends that come and comfort him by their silence but presence. And then those same friends say, "Okay, fess up, Job, you must have done something. Fess up, Job, you must have really messed up somewhere along the way. Fess, come on, tell us the truth. If you will just confess your sin, God will just make you prosperous again. He'll make you feel better again. He'll fix it. If you will just tell us what you did wrong." Job said, "Wait a minute, I didn't do anything. I don't know of anything that I've done. I don't know of what it is that God could be holding all of this over on me. And I tell you this, I may not know what he's upset about, but I believe that in the end, my Redeemer lives. And he will redeem me in the end. No, I don't get it. And I want to stand face to face with him. No, I don't get it. And I want to stand with him and I want to talk to him. And I want to know what is on his mind, why he's doing such a thing. Even let this young guy talk to me the way he's talked to me." People like him used to be quiet in my presence. He wouldn't even stand in my presence. And then God comes on the scene. Now, this section really starts in chapter 38, but I'm going to start in the first verse of chapter 40 here. And this will kind of sum up how God helps Job understand his position. See, because sometimes we don't understand our position. We think because we're kind of nice people that God owes us something. We think that God is somehow in our debt because we have done some things to try to burnish his name, make it a little shinier. We think that we are somehow just special picks of his. And we are blessed. We are blessed if we know that Jesus Christ, if we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we have been changed. We have been out of darkness and translated into his marvelous light. We are made for heaven. We are his, and we are to let our light so shine among men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We're to do some marvelous things. We've been created for him, and today, we desire to give him pleasure. But no matter what we do, he doesn't owe us anything, not even an explanation. And, it's really easy for us to slip just a little bit into the thought that, well, I'm special. I'm different. You could tell by what's going on in my life. Kind of feels like I started with the end at the beginning, huh? But let's look at chapter 40, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? You ever tell the truth? You ever really want God to do it your way? Lord, I appreciate your greatness and your wonder. I would just like you to do this at this time for this amount of time. Are you telling me, Job, that you didn't like the way that things have gone? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying you're a little upset about the way that the circumstances of life have brought you? Is that what you're saying to me? Oh, Job. He that reproveth God, he that said God's not quite doing it the right way, he that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, wait a minute, God, I'm sorry. Maybe I just forgot my place for a moment, because I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to say another thing. Once have I spoken. Yeah, I'll admit the days of frustration, I'm not clear on why certain things happen. I'm not clear why children die or loved ones are sick or this hurts or that hurts or the tsunami comes or the tornado blows. I'm just in mourning about the consequences of the circumstances of life. Sometimes it's really, really hard. And I'm going, that's not right. And God's going, what? Something I've allowed is not right? Oh, once have I spoken, but I will answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. In humility, I'm going to shut up. Yeah. Listen to these questions. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. You big and bad. Come on. Let's be bigot. Let's have us a discussion right here. Mano o mano. No. How about Theo o mano? See, because I'm God and you're not. But let's have a discussion face to face. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Will you say what I have decided is the thing that should be done, should not be done? Is that what you're telling me? Will thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? You're thinking of yourself as righteous? Well, isn't that nice? Hast thou an arm like God? Are you as strong as me? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Do you speak like me? The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Joint marrow is discerner of the thoughts and intents. Can you form words like that? Deck thyself now with majesty. Get yourself all armored up. Get yourself all ready. Get yourself all fixed up if you can. Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Gussy up the best that you can. Look good. You know, it's really funny. We think that we can control how we look. We think we can control how people perceive us. We think that we can control so many different things. This morning I took a suit out of the dry cleaner's bag, put it on, didn't even have to glance in the mirror because I felt good. Yeah, I was all right. But then it was sprinkling a little bit just before we were to leave the house. As we stepped outside the door, it began to rain and rain and rain and rain in the 15, 20 feet to the car door. I was soaked. I'm for you like a wet dog. You know, it's like this. I had plans, Lord. I had plans. You know, I can look a little frumpy sometimes, and I didn't want to be frumpy. I wanted to look stately today. Didn't work. I don't have control over the rain. I don't control the weather. I don't control. Just about anything. Lord, come on now. So deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold, everyone that is proud, abase him. Maybe I can be a justice warrior. Maybe I can bring justice to the world. Maybe I can fix it all. I can right every wrong, and I can fix all of that. Oh, I can't even fix me. I can't get it right. My anger is not righteous anger. The word of God tells me that I should not walk around angry all the time, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That's what it says in James. Be quick to hear, You ought to stop and listen. Be quick to hear, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And I can be just the opposite, you know. I can be very quick to speak. I can be very quick to anger and to be upset and to want to carry my righteous flag into the battle against this ugly, fallen world. But then when I really stop and think about it, I see hurting people and I don't know why they're hurting. I see broken people, and the way that they're broken is not right. I know that's not right. You shouldn't walk that way. But is that walking that way really a limp? A limp that needs to be healed? A limp that will be fixed by coming to know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and allowing him to do to you what he is doing to me, because the work that he is doing to me, I believe that one day he will complete. And maybe he needs to do that to you. Maybe he needs to fix you too, and I need to live with compassion and love while declaring the truth of the gospel, while declaring the truth that God is holy and that sin is wrong, but that love is real and God is love. Oh my, how can I know what to do? Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold, every one that is proud and abase him. No, I can't fix everybody, Lord, because I don't get it. I don't see them as you see them. I don't see them in the totality of who they are. I am not omniscient. You are omniscient. I'm not omnipotent. You are omnipotent. I am not the God of all power. You have all power. You have all wisdom. And if I have any wisdom, it has to have come from you. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. I believe that you are a great God, and I don't have the power. Even if you gave me the reins, I would wreck it. I would mess it up. But I can trust you. I can trust you. Verse 13, hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. I can't control anybody, Lord. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. You get all of these things together. When you pull all of this stuff together, then at that moment, then I will say, you can be in charge. But you need to learn how to control yourself, and you don't have that yet. We've got to make it clear that what God is saying here is that he doesn't answer to us. He occasionally answers us so that his self-revelation, his exposing himself to us so that we might know how to live in a way that raises him up, in a way that glorifies his name, in a way that recognizes he is who he is. He does do that, but he's never beholden to us to do that. He doesn't owe us anything. But please don't let that be something that brings you down. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Don't Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. God loves you. He wants you. He wants to teach you. He wants to raise you up. He wants to help you. He wants to fill you with himself so that even though you are crucified with Christ, nevertheless, you live. But it's not you that lives. It's Christ that lives in you. Christ, the one who died for you. The Father has the right to control it all because he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants you to know that he loves you. He cares for you. He has given value to you. The only value you possess comes from his sovereign choice. The only value you possess is the value that he has instilled in you. And he loves you and is saying to each one of us through these wearying times, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because my yoke is light. It is so easy for us, even as we are attempting to live a good life, for us to slip into thinking. It's just a subtle slip. It's a slow fade. We're moving into something that it really is a very scary place. We sang today, the heart of worship. What are we really worshiping? How are we really worshiping? Are we worshiping in such a way that we think that our behavior is controlling God? Or are we behaving because we're controlled by God? It is really possible. You're such a good-looking group. It's really possible for you to look the part and miss the mark. It is really possible that somehow you've just obeying culture. And because that culture rewards you for being a particular way. But what I would beg you to do is love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. What I would encourage you to do is find out how God wants to live through you. I know you have a will and desires and things that seem so wonderful to pursue, things that are so valuable in so many different ways, and they do have value if they are initiated by God. For too long, we've done what we do just to get God to bless it. How about doing what God says to do, knowing in due time he will bless it? I want to say this carefully, and I probably won't receive it very well if you repeat it, but I can be an arrogant man. I love the Lord, but I can be arrogant about my love of the Lord. I can be arrogant about the fact that I'm a missionary called from the city to go to a place that, well, isn't the city. I can be arrogant that God has allowed me to exist here for 20 some years. But I recognize it is the grace of the living God. We talk about this a lot here. But let these words have some weight. It's by grace you're saved. Through faith. And that is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created unto good works, that he has before ordained. Grace, unmerited favor. That's the short way we say it. But it's also the empowerment to walk in line with the truth of the Word of God, because Christianity is not for wimps. It's for people that have courage to live by the conviction given to them by God. But you couldn't even do that without the faith that God gives us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are things that we want that are legitimate to want that seem so far out there that we can't even believe them. There's salvation that we want for children and friends. There's health that we want for those that are ill. There are things that are out there that we can only grasp them at this point by faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Impossible to please him if you do not believe him. Do you believe? Amen. Today is the day to know if you believe him. I believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Our lives are about chasing after God, who is right here to be caught, who's initiated a call that before the foundation of the world, he made plans for you to be his. And the circumstances of your life are shaping you into one who is set and right to be able to worship him throughout eternity. Oh, to be fit to stand before God, that we can go boldly into the presence our Savior. What it must be like to be there and there's a crystal sea sparkling before you, and you can't close the gap, because like everyone else that is there, you recognize that he's holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And all you feel like doing is bowing down. Holy, holy. You want to lift your hands. Holy, holy. You want to run to him. Yet you recognize he is holy. And you're in awe because the Holy One wants you. We are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Recognize who and how great he is. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. He exalted Job. But first he reminded Job, who are you? Are you able to be me? And if you're not able to be me, you need to accept my choices. Today, Father, I accept your choices. Help me to walk in a way that I'm in line with your choices. Help me to do what it is that enhances your choices and doesn't confuse. We love you, Lord. Would you bow your head with me? Today, I don't know, I don't know if this message catches you at all, but I've just been humbled by the Word of God and the God of the Word. I've been shook by the presence of the Spirit and His kindness in choosing me and you. And so today, you might want to affirm or reaffirm. Dear Father, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't even know what all that means, except that you are in charge. Thank you for saving me from the mess of this world, saving me, keeping me in the midst of my circumstances, saving me, giving me purpose for each and every day. Thank you for saving me. Help me now discover what you're going to do with me. And in the meantime, I will joyfully, peacefully, lovingly, faithfully, patiently accept your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altar is open to you. If God is moving on your heart, feel free to come to the altar. If you're still questioning, if you're still thinking, feel free to come to the altar. As we stand and sing, just feel free to allow God to have his way in your life. We want that so much for you.